Earlier this month, the new Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe announced a new stimulus package in an attempt to jumpstart the world's third largest economy. The effort also has included an announcement by the Bank of Japan that it'll buy bonds at potentially unlimited quantities in an effort to boost inflation. We're joined now by journalist Eamon Fingleton and Financial Times U.S. Economics editor Robin Harding. Welcome to our program, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, Robin, I'd like to talk first about the Abe government's new stimulus package. What kinds of projects does it include?
So basically, what they've announced is they're going to spend 10.3 trillion yen, which is a bit more than $100 billion, which is a fairly substantial amount of money, on various things to try and get the economy going. They say it's going to focus on infrastructure, on disaster prevention, which is obviously a very acute issue in Japan in the light of the devastating tsunami in a couple of years ago. And so the idea is that by spending this money throughout the economy, they will stimulate activity and get things going and try and address the really quite dismal economic performance that Japan has suffered for the last 10 or 20 years.
Is it similar to the Obama stimulus approach with a lot of green energy?
There is some green energy in there. The broad idea is very, very similar.
Now, Eamon, Abe is a conservative. Do conservatives have different feelings about the use of stimulus in Japan than they do in this country or in Britain?
This is a very big question because labels like conservative really don't translate from Japan to the United States. But I would like to offer you a larger picture on Japan. I don't fully agree with Robin's characterization of Japan as a failing economy. There are a couple of things, of course, that are true about the economy. The stock market is way down from the late 80s. I happen to have been one of the few people to have predicted the stock market crash back in the 80s. I predicted it in 1987. Real estate prices are way down from those days as well. But in many, many ways, Japan is actually much stronger now than it was in the 1980s. I would point out, for instance, exports. I would point out the current account surplus, the widest and most meaningful measure of trade. I would point out life expectancy, all sorts of measures of consumer welfare that are not really discussed in the West, Japan is doing rather well on.
So you wouldn't even use the word stagnant, which is often the word that I see and as a description of the current situation in Japan?
Well, it is true that Japan is aging, and that gives the country a certain sort of character that perhaps it didn't have 40 years ago when the average age was younger than most probably other advanced nations. But if you think about Japan's agenda and the agenda generally in East Asia, which is to boost exports, to increase the current account surplus, which is distinct from the visible trade that is reported to be in deficit, the current account is strongly in surplus. And it is the agenda of the people who run Japan to boost trade, to accumulate ever more foreign assets, basically, which they've done very successfully. In the last 20 years, Japan has increased its net foreign assets by about $3.5 trillion, whereas the United States in the same period has increased its net foreign liabilities by about $8 trillion. So it depends what you're looking at, but the people around Japan look at things like basically economic power and the ability to project it abroad.
Now, Robin, the unemployment rate is about half the United States unemployment rate, 4.1%. Why would the country even need a stimulus?
Well, the employment rate is quite a lot lower than the United States, and there are various features of the Japanese labor market which mean companies tend to keep workers on rather than firing them in bad times, which is an admirable feature of Japan. But there are also a lot of people who have part-time jobs and would like to have full-time jobs. I don't think that statistic gives you a very full picture of what's actually going on. And I think that Eamon's characterization of Japan, certainly from the economic point of view, is a little bit odd. I mean, Japan is a wonderful, wonderful place with many incredibly attractive features, and it continues to do the things that it's always done very well, extremely well. But the fact is, its economic performance has been very bad for the last 20 years, and most crucially, it could have been a lot better had better policies been pursued. So, you know, five recessions in the last 15 years. If you ask Japanese policymakers whether they're doing well, they'll say no. If you ask them, would you like to be in the position the US is in, they'd say yes. And if you ask US policymakers, would you like to be in the position Japan is in, they would say, no, thank you. We've learned what not to do from Japan's experience over the last 20 years.
Isn't part of the problem that Japan is a large entitlement state with an aging workforce and a slowing birth rate?
And that's unquestionably true. So it would be wrong to expect the overall Japanese economy to grow very fast when you've got a lot more older people. And in fact, the workforce, the number of people who are aged between 16 and 65 who can actually work and make stuff, is going down. But Japan's economic performance is worse than even that would allow for. So prices have been falling. They've had deflation for the last 15 years or so. There's a chronic budget deficit, which has been proven totally impossible to address over the last 15 to 20 years. And, you know, there remains the very real prospect that Japan will suffer a real debt crisis, unlike that which is occasionally rumored in the U.S.
Yeah,
at some point in the future, you never know when it might arrive.
Amen.
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment on some of Robin's contributions. The economic growth rate in Japan on a per capita basis has not been that bad. And there are strong grounds for believing that the methodology for calculating growth in Japan is produces an understated result. The Japanese authorities in the late 80s were suffered a near-death experience because of trade pressure from the United States. There was an enormous fear that America would close its markets. Japan since then has learned its lesson and has decided to adopt as low a profile as possible. And one of the ways that they've done that is to rather understate their growth relative to that of the United States. If you think about this, Robin will confirm, for instance, that the yen, for instance, is up 38% since the summer of 2007. It has recently been weak, but over the longer term, it has been extremely strong. That there are many other indicators that conflict with this idea of a weak economy. I will mention one: electricity output in the 1990s, the first so-called lost decade, increased about twice as fast per capita in Japan as in the United States. And the electricity output is taken by the IMF, the World Bank, people like that, as a very close proxy for true economic growth. Yet all through the 1990s, we were told that Japan was a basket case.
So, Eamon, why do you think Mr. Abe is breaking with the general international consensus on how to solve the world's economic problems, austerity and debt reduction, considering the fact that Japan has a fairly large national debt, has been the economic orthodoxy for the last few years in most of the Western countries?
Well, I think that he may be playing to the international gallery. There probably is pressure from Washington, to some extent from the EU and perhaps even from Britain, on Japan to look as if it's stimulating consumption. And therefore, this may be more about politics than about economics. But basically, if you look at Japan and look at how it was in the 1980s, there has been enormous progress at every level, particularly at the consumer level. I mean, for instance, life expectancy has grown very dramatically. Japan, among major nations, has the highest life expectancy of any nation in the world, about 4 years longer than in the United States. And you go through the list of consumer welfare items. The best food in the world. Japan has more Michelin three-star restaurants than any other country in the world. I mean, everywhere you look, the infrastructure, some of the most advanced airports, for instance, in the world are in Japan, built since the 1980s, the most spectacular bridges. Japan is working on a maglev system that will move people at 300 miles an hour between Tokyo and Osaka. All sorts of stuff that is going on there that is never mentioned.
Well, it sounds to me like we're talking about two different countries. Robin, hasn't the stimulus package been popular in Japan? If things are going so well, why would that be?
Well, I'm afraid things aren't going well. Despite the fact that some numbers are good, the overall outcome has not been very satisfactory to Japanese people. You know, it's like defining the success of a football team in yards gained instead of number of games won. And in the games won statistic, the Japanese economy has not been a very happy place over the last 20 years.
Japan's trade deficit hit a record $78.3 billion last year, and I've always thought of the country as a major exporter.
There are two ways of measuring trade. You're quoting the narrow measure. The wider measure, which is the current account, Japan had a current account surplus of about $80 billion last year, which is up about a third from the last year of the 1980s. That despite the fact that, of course, Japan's trade last year was inhibited very dramatically by the earthquake and by the problems in China. So in terms of Japan's trade, it is one of the stronger performers in the world compared to the United States, compared to Britain, compared to France, compared to Italy. It is enormously strong.
Robin?
These countries have current account deficits, which are much, much larger now than they were 20 years ago.
I'm afraid that Eamon's redefining success again. The situation in Japan, what happened is that over many years of great trade success, Japan has built up a large pile of foreign assets. And as its population gets older, what is starting to happen is that those assets are flowing back to Japan in order to fund people's retirement. There are less people there. It's a more advanced economy now, so it doesn't have the sort of labor cost advantage that lets you run up a big trade surplus like China. I don't at all deny Eamon's point that there remain great strengths in the Japanese economy, and it's like Germany. I mean, they continue to have a core of really strong companies that do things well. But again, the idea that it's somehow successful overall because one bit is going well just doesn't really work for me.
Well, we have very little time, but Japan propped up its banks after the stock market crash, much as we did in 2008. They had zombie banks. Now they are talking about deferring the equivalent of qualitative easing, which is an approach that we have been trying. So what are the lessons for the United States? Eamon first and then Robin.
I think that the United States should work harder on its trade position. Its trade position is disastrous. The net effect of America's sort of forgetfulness about trade is that the United States now is running a trade deficit of about current account deficit of about 4-5% of GDP per year.
And Robin, we have to get you in here for a moment. Go ahead.
So the U.S. has learned the lessons from Japan, and those lessons are stimulate hard, stimulate early, and get out of this trap before you fall too far into it, which I'm afraid is what has happened to Japan.
And I've been talking with Robin Harding, who is the Financial Times U.S. economics editor, and Eamon Fingleton, who is a journalist. We've been talking to him in Dublin about the situation in Japan, a situation that many people have seen as analogous to the sort of thing that we have been facing since 2008. If it works in Japan, perhaps it will work in the United States. Thank you both so much for being on our show today.
Thank you.